This episode of the PC Perspective Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic and secure online backup for your home and small business computer files with plans starting at just $59.99 a year. Get the better backup plan today. Start your free trial at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code PC and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the PC Perspective Podcast. This is our 272nd episode being recorded on October 9th, 2013. I'm Ryan Schrout.
I'm Jeremy Hellstrom.
I'm Josh Walrath.
And I'm Alan Malventano.
And every week I say Jeremy needs a new microphone. And then I forget. Here we go. I got a piece of paper here. I got a pen. I'm writing it down. Jeremy Mike. Right, yeah. Okay, we're good.
Not a new keyboard.
It was my cat. Yeah.
It's just your voice sounds different and the background noise isn't worse. It just sounds different than everybody else's. So we got to get
that fixed. That's because it's Canadian.
True. So last week I told you guys about a giveaway we were having, courtesy of NVIDIA GeForce Battle Box, whatever it was. We gave away a copy of Batman Arkham Origins. I think it comes out this month now, right? It's out in October. And our winner was DV Namis, DVNAMIS, an actual user on the site, not an anonymous contributor. So congratulations to you. I will be emailing you a code that you can put into Steam. I don't know if it's a Steam code. I don't know where it is. You'll put the code in, and you have to wait for the game to be released. Congratulations. And then more good news. We're going to do that again this week. So if you're listening to this podcast after the fact, go to pcpro.com/podcast. Find the post for episode 272. There'll be a form at the bottom, name, email address, and secret phrase that we will get into later in the episode. And you can put your new secret phrase down there. If you already entered last week, obviously you can enter again. If you're listening to us live, which you can do that every week on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific at pcper.com/live. If you're listening to us live or watching us live, you have to wait until tomorrow when the actual podcast post goes up with the form on it. I bet I saw 100 people just leave a comment on a post, and it is not the same thing as entering the form. So if you only responded as a comment on the post or on the podcast page itself,
I think people just like typing perpetual lotion engine.
They're going to be disappointed this time because it's going to be a different code word. I haven't figured out what it is yet, but I got a piece of paper here to write it down when we do, so we don't have any mix-ups this week. Finally, the last little thing I'll mention before we get into the show is if you want to join our mailing list, all you have to do is go to pcper.com/subscribe. And what does this do? Which is sign you up for all kinds of spam and crap? Nope. We send out an email almost every time we go live with an event. And all we need is your name and your email address. That's it. It signs you up for a mailing list. You can subscribe and unsubscribe at will once you actually start it. And we will send you an email whenever we go live. And it's convenient that way. And sometimes I don't forget. And now it works. So...
These and sometimes I send personal pictures.
If you want a personal photo of Josh.
And by personal, we do mean personal.
Yeah, unsubscribe immediately. Unsubscribe immediately. So a slower week than normal. We actually have several things that were like almost ready for publication today. We'll have to wait until next week. Actually, that's going to be bad because I don't know if we're going to have an episode next week. I don't think we can have a podcast next week because Ken and I are both going to be out of the country.
You'll be eating poutine with the best of them. Or the worst.
That sounds gross.
I'll just go to Josh Tech and we can record.
Go to joshtech.com. Yeah. It's spelled with 2 Ks, by the way. Just 2, though. Only 2 Ks.
3 would be...
That would be unfortunate.
Yeah.
You don't want to add that special K.
To supremacy.
Nope. A couple of reviews to talk about this week. One, Steve Shardine posted a review of an Asus gaming notebook, the cleverly named G75JX DB71. Which is a complex name for a pretty awesome gaming system, actually. You can look at the specs here. It's a Haswell-based Core i7-4700 HQ. It is a quad-core up to 3.4 gigahertz. It also has discrete graphics, GTX 770M with 3 gigs of frame buffer, 16 gigs of memory, a 1 terabyte hard drive, plus a 256 gig SSD. What is LCM? Alan, do you know what LCM is for... The SSD?
LCM.
I don't know what that is.
Lowest common denominator.
Manamana.
It doesn't ring a bell. Good crystal matrix, but I like yours better.
17.3 inch 1080p screen matte finish, if that intrigues you. MATTE for anybody that isn't sure what that is. Windows 8, 59 or an 88 watt hour battery, Bluetooth 4.0, et cetera, et cetera. USB 3.0. What'd you say?
Light?
No.
No?
Yeah. No, it's fine. USB 3.0, et cetera, et cetera. Blah, blah, blah. Pretty good.
Windows 8.
Pretty good performance specs, I think. Design and portability. You can see some neat pictures of it on Steve's deck. I think the design of this system is really hit or miss. Like, you either love, like, the kind of angles of it or you don't like it. I think Asus really started this.
Or he needs to seal his redwood better.
He does a
He's
little.
He's expecting to sell this house? Come on, man.
I think he already sold his house. So, I don't know. Yeah, we get on his case. Get on his case.
Looks like LCM is just the model name of the light on SSD.
Okay. All right. The angles kind of started with like the Lamborghini when Asus first got the Lamborghini brand. Right? If you remember back in the day. I don't know if they still make any of those. I like the angles. I like the design. It's a RAID. You can see here the two SSDs there. You got your memory modules. Let's scroll down to here. So the keyboard he actually liked a lot. The touchpad he liked a lot.
Oh, thank goodness he cleaned that, because the way he was talking to me and what he was watching.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, a little damp cloth. Don't actually spray cleaner on the screen or keyboard. So here you can see the screen. It's a matte finish. It's like finding Sasquatch at this point in terms of monitors and laptops, and you can see like with full brightness directly in the sunlight. It's not great, but I think it's more readable than a fully glossy screen would be, for sure. It's got giant vents on it, accessible. You can see the battery life that he had here, 4 hours and 14 minutes of runtime. I think that's on like the most basic test, which is pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, the reader test. Four hours, 41 minutes. I'm sorry. 414. 441 was the MSI GT60. So a little bit lower than the MSI GT60. Performance was good. Gaming performance is good. That's obviously kind of the target here. GTX 770M passed up really only by the GT60 that has the 780M in there, which obviously makes sense. So, Diablo 3, Metro 2033, Bioshock Infinite, all good stuff there. The only hiccup with this laptop was we had issues with if you try to game on battery power, it is dramatically limiting performance. Like, it is pulling down the clocks, it is not letting them go up, and that he tried, you know, uninstalling software, changing settings in software. We worked with Asus, and they finally said, yeah, that's just the way it works, right, is that the GPU clock is at its minimum when you're on battery. So, you know, even if you, the kind of issue I have with that is, even if you just want to say, I realize the battery is going to die, but I'm on this flight, I want to game for an hour and a half or something like that, or an hour, whatever it is, you don't have that option. It's a dramatic, like, by half or more frame rate drop in a lot of these games. So, pricing at $1,899 street price, so expensive, but not out of the world crazy expensive like some of the other gaming notebooks we've seen. So check out that review. I know we get a lot of people that ask about gaming laptops, and we are doing our best to kind of cover more and more of those. We have another laptop review that Steve's working on now, the MSI GE40, which is like a mid-range gaming machine. I think it's 14-inch with like a 760M graphics, I believe. So,
oh, come on. Can't you remember in 1996 or so, a decent laptop was $3,500, and that was actually.
And it was no 10-pound laptop.
It was what?
It wasn't 10 pounds.
It was probably like 12.
15, 20, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think that the gaming laptop market has improved dramatically. I wish they would move past the Alienware M17 and M18 designs. Like, I still feel like even with this Asus one, it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't have to look like that necessarily. Once it's open, it's not that bad. But when it's closed, it kind of looks like something that a 16-year-old kid would strive to have, as opposed to somebody that is a semi-professional that just happens to like the game. I don't know. This obviously is something you want to carry around school or around work conventions or anything like that. But
so buy an Ultrabook, right?
Obviously, buy all the Ultrabooks. They don't sell Ultrabooks anymore. Now it's 2-in-1s. I don't. That's not the case, but 2-in-1s, which is a horrible alternative to convertible, which actually made sense. But
you know what? The porn industry is so happy that they're giving free advertising.
2-in-1. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the news of the week, guys, so I can remove that comment from my mind.
Wait. I thought we were going to talk about the other big article that you wrote about.
I am. Right now.
Should we not? Do you want to skip it?
Which nah, one? No one cares.
What?
Radeon R9 280X?
That's what I was going to.
No, you were saying news of the week.
It is the news of the week. It is the,
it's the next story article of the week. And not news.
Oh, I see the stuff news, I published.
But it's
just
an article
fluff
form.
It's the story of the week, and it happens to be a review I wrote. A lot of times the big story of the week is not one of the reviews we wrote, except in our own minds, which is what keeps us going from week to week, right? So
semantics.
Yes.
Semantics.
The release of the AMD Radeon R9, R7 relaunch of graphics cards. So up front, as I say in the article and in the video review, this is not a Hawaii review. The Hawaii GPU is not out yet. If every review of the Hawaii doesn't have that YouTube video embedded.
Just call me Jack Boy.
So this is the R9 280X, R9 270X, R7 260X. So I'm going to do one thing right out here out of the gate that may upset
some
people.
Could you say that again? I couldn't hear you over my awesomeness and my wife screaming in the background.
Let's move to this. I want to show you this table that's on the last page of our article that I think sums up what I think a lot of people think the story is, right? So here is the R9 280X followed by the HD 7970 GHz edition, and then the 270X compared to the 7870 GHz. And then the 260X compared to the HD 7790.
Do you know how long I spent on that table going up and down with my mouse, watching
awesome
it highlight the rows?
Nice. Showing off that template. Nice. That's
singing the Hawaii 5-0 song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was pretending I was surfing.
So
up
let's
and down.
Take a look at just these two columns, the 280X and the 7970. You'll notice that they're very similar across the board. 4.3 billion transistors, 2048 shaders, about within 50 megahertz clock. Same memory width, same memory clock, a little bit lower compute performance in the 280X, same texture unit, same ROPs, same frame buffer. Okay,
hey, look, it's kind of black and yellow, black and yellow.
Now look at the 270X and the 7870 GHz edition. You'll notice, okay, yeah, 1280 shaders, yeah, clock speed's pretty most, 256, yeah, okay. A little faster memory speed on the 270X, that's nice, okay. A little bit higher, okay, all right. And now look at 260X and 7790, and you see those specs are very much similar. Make no mistake, these are rebranded products or repositioned or whatever term you want to use. The rebranding is they're getting away, they're removing the word HD from their line, which I think makes sense because HD was over in 2007. It's no longer the Radeon HD 7000 series. Now it is the Radeon R9 series or R7 series. And the 280X is the replacement of the 7970. 270X is the 7870. 260X is 7970. Or I'm sorry, 7790. Jesus, that's a pain in the ass.
Get it right.
So these are rebranded parts. Great. But they're also repositioned. And repositioned means that they're dropping the prices, essentially. The R280X, which you can see here, we got the Asus top model, T-O-P, top all caps, not like the best model, like top. I don't know what it stands for anymore. It is $299. That is the reference speed price for the 280X. It's $299, which is like a $70 to $80 price drop from just like in August for the same product.
But better.
it's a little bit better product, right? It's a little bit slower. It's a little bit slower, but it has some feature improvements. We'll talk about that. The R9 270X is now $199. That's like let's say $20 price drop or something. Not nearly as much, but in the last
still significant
30 10 to 60
to
days
15%.
Yeah, and it has better performance than the 7870, thanks to its improved memory. Speed and a little bit higher GPU clock. And then the R7 260X is the same Bonair GPU that we saw with the 7790. This is going to be sold for $139, which is about the same price that we were finding the 7790s.
Well, that was for the 1 gig version.
Yeah.
The 2 gig was about $15 to $20 more expensive. Okay. And now this one is 2 gigs.
2 gigabytes.
Two whopping gigs.
So the feature changes that happen with this are new display output configurations. So pretty much mirroring what NVIDIA did with the GTX 700 series. Did they do that with the 600 series too? I think they might have. Yeah, they definitely did. With the 600 series. Two dual-link DVI, a full-size HDMI, and a full-size display port. And that, to me, is the best combination I have seen on a graphics card yet.
Because, you know, like on that the Lightning's, the R7970,
okay,
it had only two single-link DVI ports.
Yeah.
It was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so this allows you, like, if you have two 30-inch monitors, you can run them off the dual-link DVI, boom, you're done.
You don't have to play with DisplayPort and transfer an adapter.
No, you don't have
to buy a $100 powered active.
They're a lot cheaper than that.
Mine were only $49 apiece, but still.
Now, what's also interesting is because of this change, it's also updated how you can connect monitors to set up an Eyefinity configuration. So before, you used to have to use at least one DisplayPort connection, DVI, HDMI, DisplayPort. But a lot of graphics cards didn't have DVI and HDMI. They had one or the other. So you had two DisplayPorts, and DisplayPort monitors still aren't as popular as AMD believed they would be. So now you can use DVI, DVI, and HDMI to power your three monitors. And if you want to use 120Hz displays, whether that be for 3D or just 120Hz refresh rates, you can use dual-link DVI, dual-link DVI, and fast HDMI. So you don't even have to use DisplayPort in that regard, right?
But if you use DisplayPort on these cards, they use it right.
Yeah, they do it just fine. And now that means every single one of these cards will support 6 monitors because you can do DisplayPort out to the MST hub, which apparently exists now. And then you can do HDMI, DVI, DVI. So you don't have to worry about Eyefinity 6 edition graphics cards or anything like that. If you want to do 6 monitors, go crazy. You can do it. That's kind of like the big change from the 7970s and the 7870s.
I mean, as much as DisplayPort has personally pissed me off,
sure,
because, hey, I've got to pick up 2 active adapters to be able to use 3 monitors.
Right.
At least on the past generation of card.
Yep.
In this case, we now have that DisplayPort hub. So one plug, one adapter, 3 monitors.
Yep.
This makes sense to me.
Now,
yeah, but how sexy are these adapters? I mean, look at them. Look how
I've got subtle curve. Plenty of those here of different shapes and sizes. They come in all shapes and sizes, Josh. I know you've heard that. So.
For her pleasure.
What has not changed with these cards is any frame pacing issues. If they existed as of last week, they exist today. The 13.11 driver, I think the beta just came out yesterday or today, is now available to the public. That's the driver we used in our testing. It has the same frame pacing and incremental improvements that they've had since the 13.8 release. But Eyefinity frame pacing is not addressed still, and 4K 60Hz frame pacing is still not addressed. That is still coming late in the fall, I'm being told. So these new cards do not implement any changes or fixes to Eyefinity or for Crossfire. They work the exact same. They are literally the exact same ASICs that existed before, only they exist today. Again, at a lower price, which is good. DX11.2 support, not a whole lot there, but it's there. Mantle support is built into these, but Mantle support is also built into the HD 7000 series. So is DX11.2 support. So those aren't new or exclusive features to that. I forgot to mention on the 260X, it does support True Audio technology, which is the integrated, fully programmable
audio DSP.
Right. Well, there's multiple DSPs in it, but it's an audio controller built into the silicon of the GPU. It does not use the GPU resources for compute. It has its own resources. The only way it interacts with the actual GPU is that it can read the frame buffer of the GPU. And
what, read local memory, not the, well, frame buffer, I guess, if you want to talk about that.
It can. Like, it can read that in shared memory, and that's how it can, it could possibly be cool where now the sound controller doesn't just know what audio it's getting. It knows where all the characters and items in the world are, and it's like actually doing computational sound as opposed to simulation sound, which is a really cool idea. The problem is there's no games out that support it yet. AMD has shown Murdered Soul Suspect, which is just a weird name. Thief.
Oh, yeah.
And Lichdom. I don't know if you guys remember Lichdom. You guys remember that?
Oh, wow. Who could forget that?
And now for something else.
Now, those are three games that have confirmed to use True Audio. I will use this interjection to point out there was a story that went around from a guy who said that Battlefield 4 was going to use True Audio. That is wrong. This guy also said that Newegg sold through 8,000 pre-orders for the Battlefield 4 version of the 290X.
That's wrong.
That is also wrong. Newegg never had pre-orders
for it. That's Mr. Peterman, right?
The guy
who does the catalog?
Yeah, exactly.
Jay Peterman.
That's correct. Yes. No, I like that. That's a good job. So if you look at our review, which I encourage you guys to do if you listen to this, go to pcpro.com and look at the review. I did not include benchmarks for the 7970, the 7870, or the 7790 because they are pretty close to identical and they're going away as of next week. Like, what's out there is out there and it's going to be gone. So the relevant comparison now is the 280X against the NVIDIA cards, the 270X against NVIDIA cards, and so on. And in fact, in our benchmarks, you'll see an interesting comparison. The 280X at $299 compares against the GTX 770, which is $399, so a full $100 more, and the GTX 760 that was $249, so $50 less than the 280X. So the 280X is kind of sandwiched in between these two products. So you'll see that comparison. And the 270X pretty much goes head-to-head against the GTX 660 at $200. And the 260X goes against a 650 Ti boost. So a lot of interesting numbers to go through. I'm not going to step through anything one by one, but let me show you one set. Let's go to BioShock Infinite. And what you'll see here, other than fancy screenshots, is that the 280X 3GB versus the GTX 770 2GB are very similar in performance, with the slight edge actually going to AMD at 1080p. Well, let's scroll down a little bit and look at 2560 by 1440. Oh, look, the advantage is still on the 280X's favor. And you can look at these two graphs here, and you'll see that the average frame rate is definitely higher than the 770, and it's definitely higher than the 760. So the problem
and
for
more consistent.
Yeah. You see, the problem for NVIDIA is that blue line is $100 more expensive than that orange line.
Yeah, because BioShock Infinite actually takes up about 2.4 gigs of video memory space.
That is why
levels.
You see this graph. Right?
What?
That's why you see this graph. So notice
exactly.
The green and blue lines have these sharp stutters. And it's very apparent when you're watching it in real time, too, that these stutters happen. But the orange line has one of those. The green and blue lines have a lot. That is the advantage of having 50% more memory on your graphics card.
Because, you know, you don't have to page that stuff out.
Right. Let's look at Metro Last Light. Here's another game.
Let's
look at now 2560 by 1440, and you can see here that the orange line is pretty consistently a little bit higher than the blue line. And they're both fairly consistent in terms of like frame times and having low frame variance. Performance, pretty much equal. But again, the 280X is going to be priced $100 less than the current price of the 770. So that's a problem for NVIDIA. The other problem for NVIDIA is if we look at how the 270X performs, you'll see here that the orange line of the 270X greatly outperforms the green line that represents the 660, which is the equal price part. And it actually is as good as the $50 more expensive part, the GTX 760 2GB. The 260X is not fair as well. It loses quite handily in many cases, but I don't, and not as many people are as interested in that particular part here.
Come on, that's like one of my favorite GPUs of quite some time.
7790?
It's just so efficient. Yeah, it runs as fast as an HD, 5870?
At this point, at $139, it's hard to tell anybody who is watching a show like this or listening to a show like this not to spend $60 more and get the 270X. Like that's how I look at it, right? Don't get me wrong. I know the sub $150 market is where the majority of graphics are sold, the majority of discrete graphics are sold, and we pay attention to that, and we have a whole slew of benchmarks from it. But it's hard not to be, a little bit disappointed because the GTX 650 Ti Boost outperforms it. It's not as efficient. Its power consumption is definitely higher. If we look here, you can actually see that 650 Ti Boost is using 40 watts more power than the new R7 260X / 7790, which is a lot, especially for this tier of graphics card. But I don't know. It's hard for me to not be a lot more excited about where they priced the 280X and the 270X.
Yeah, but it's the ninja part.
I'm sorry, the what?
The ninja part.
Because it had the secrets in it?
It's got the secrets.
So the 260X has true audio in it. But here's the secret. The 7790 has had true audio in it the whole time. It was actually their test chip. But the drivers aren't there to enable it anyway.
Yeah.
Also,
yes.
I wrote this in the story. I don't know how much AMD wants people to know about it. But it also has the new
Crossfire
implementation in it. Even though it has the bridge on top, it also has the other version that we'll be talking about soon.
On bottom.
Which may be able to fix some of the iFinity and 4K issues. But it's not the right platform to really demonstrate iFinity Crossfire performance in reality. It just doesn't have the throughput and horsepower to really do that. So,
but still, it's exciting and it's interesting, and a lot of changes are going to be ported back to the.
So, what do you think about these graphs here? Performance per dollar.
Ta-da.
Now, it's hard to really compare across price segments for this, because inherently, as you go up the price stack, normally, when you go up the price stack, you are decreasing your performance per dollar. For example, actually, look at the NVIDIA stack. The 660 is more cost efficient than the 760, which is more cost efficient than the 770. Right? That's how we have always seen it. And it's definitely the case here where the 270 is a little bit more cost efficient than the 280X, but it's a fairly slim margin. Look at the difference between the 760 and the 770 compared to the 270X and the 280X. And that the 280X and the 270X are, the 280X is more cost efficient than the GTX 660, right? In this particular title. And it's pretty close here in Battlefield 3. And then it's awfully close here in Metro Last Light as well. I mean, AMD priced these extremely aggressively.
Extremely aggressively?
Extremely aggressively, superbly. And
outstandingly.
Right. part of you, because part of us as technologists, people who love technology and want to see improvement, you're disappointed that the same GPU that I reviewed in December of 2011 is being released today in October of 2013 as a new card.
But it's $300 less than when you first did it.
Right. So the guy who the part of me and the part of our audience that wants new cool stuff is disappointed by that. But the part of me and the part of our audience that actually has to pay for stuff should still see the advantages of what AMD has done. And this puts a whole lot of pressure on NVIDIA
to rebrand their cards?
Well, that I think NVIDIA would be committing suicide at this point to keep the prices that they have on the 770 and the 760. Well,
they won't be.
They have to come down. Come down. Well, sure. The six.
And on October 15th, will they be dropping the prices of the 780 and the Titan?
I don't know. What's
that's
on October 15th?
I don't know. That's halfway towards Halloween. Candy prices just jump. And
is that the rumored release?
Down.
Is that the rumored release of the 290s and stuff?
Supposedly.
Okay.
It's either a trick or a treat.
One or the other. So that's pretty much the whole review. The cards actually are going to be available on October 11th. They weren't available as of this sale. I'm sorry, as of this review, I guess, or this podcast for that matter. So it's interesting. It would be, I bet AMD would have sold a ton of R9 280Xs this week had they been available for sale, 270Xs as well. This gives NVIDIA enough chance to say, I don't know, October 10th or 11th, suddenly the GTX 770, instead of being $399, is $319. Now it's a totally different discussion.
It's a whole new ball game.
I don't know if they'll do that. As a customer,
have they ever done that?
Like, really? just cut their prices?
Their price cuts have been glacial as compared to typically what AMD has done.
But keep in mind, when the 7970 was out, AMD came out with the 580.
What? Yeah. NVIDIA?
I'm sorry, NVIDIA came out with the 580, right? And undercut that price. Was it the 680?
What? 680.
I'm sorry.
No, the 680.
So the 680 came out and undercut the 7970 gigahertz edition.
Well, it's because it was a smaller chip and less expensive components because...
Yeah, but NVIDIA had never done that before. AMD had always been the company that had to come out at the lower price.
True.
Right? And NVIDIA finally was like, you know what? We're tired of this crap. They have a good part, but they could have come out and matched the price, right? Because they were better on efficiency. They had cool features like GPU boost. And it, there would have been an argument that their part is worth the same dollar amount. Instead, they said,
"Can I play the devil's advocate here?"
No,
advocate. When the 7970 came out, there was a ton of backlash about how expensive it was. Even though
bucks.
It was kind of in line with what previous models were, like the GTX 580, the HD 6970. And the performance it offered, but still people were like, hey, AMD has been known as the value proposition. Why in the hell are they doing it so high? It's a next generation part. It's not costing them this much. I mean, where's our goods? And NVIDIA really tapped in on that with the GTX 680 because the price was lower, but not significantly lower.
Didn't they launch at $500? And the 7970 launched at $649, right? So I don't know.
But it started a huge price war,
which
was lovely.
And I think this will do the same thing. I think NVIDIA is not going to be able to sit on where it's at now.
The 660, the 650 Ti, they've already said, are coming down. They're going to re-release 760. We don't know exactly what the re-release is going to be. Is it going to be slightly faster, maybe more power efficient, or maybe just cheaper? But yeah, their Digitimes already said that this is coming, and
all right.
frankly, we all knew this was going to happen.
Honestly, I hadn't heard any of that yet. So okay, interesting.
I posted it on a website today. I can't remember what the name of it is though.
Was it Josh Tech?
Yeah,
might have been.
All right. So go read that review. It's a wonderful review, if I do say so myself.
Wunderbar.
Now I will say, like, I gave the 280X and 270X silver awards because of their aggressive price performance stance, right? It was hard not to. Had AMD come to me and said, magical surprise, here's a driver that fixes iFinity Crossfire performance and 4K Crossfire performance, it would have been editor's choice. It would have been like, this is an amazing thing, you guys have gone above and beyond. But as it is now, they're still really good parts. If you're a single GPU user, these are now by far the best cards for their price. And NVIDIA is going to have to work at proving to people what's going on. Oh, yeah. And by the way, you don't get free games with these.
That kind of blows because you can get a HD 7970 9 gigahertz edition for $269 after rebates with three games.
Yep. Now those are going to be gone.
Well, you can.
Yeah, those are going to be gone soon. And AMD said they don't. I've kept asking, like, until hours before the launch. I was like, so what's the deal with the Never Settle thing? They're like, yeah, we're not going to do it with those.
So that forever bit was just a joke.
Never settle forever until we have new products. I'm guessing, I'm almost positive that they will come back at some point. I just don't know when.
Maybe BF4?
I don't know. I feel like I get the impression that they're doing that bundle with the 290X and Battlefield 4. I get the impression that people at EA and DICE are so protective of Battlefield 4 that they will not want it to be a pack-in. They don't want it to be seen as like a cheap game that want to go in there. I think AMD would love to do that, but I don't think they have that big a pocketbook.
Then I guess
on
that's
the other hand, I mean, hey, you're partnering with Thief and Lichdom saying, hey, this is a brand new audio effect that's only going to be
they should
on
be these
games.
Yep.
Be nice to put one of those games in with a card, you know?
It sure would.
Yeah, Robin Hood would do it.
All right. So go check out that article. We are going to take a quick break here. We're giving Ken a second to thank today's podcast sponsor. So have a listen.
The all new.
Are you kidding me?
M-Power.
Hey.
C.
Shut it. Hey, that's you.
Damn it.
This episode of the PC Perspective Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Your life is on your computer at home, and your livelihood is on the computers at your small business. To really be protected, you need online, off-site, in-the-cloud backup from Carbonite. With Carbonite, your files are automatically and continually backed up, so you never have to think about it. Once you have Carbonite, the computer disaster isn't really a disaster because Carbonite makes it easy to restore your backed-up files. Over 1 million customers trust Carbonite to protect their home and small business computer files with plans starting at $59.99 a year. Your better backup plan for home and for your small business is Carbonite. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com with the offer code PC and get 2 bonus months with purchase. That's Carbonite.com, and the offer code for 2 bonus months is PC. Ta-da! We have
you
monetization.
Sound so professional. Professioner.
Monetization of this crap
God,
we talked about again.
It's monetization. Porn to beer.
I will say.
Back.
From personal experience, Carbonite has saved me a huge headache because when my wife's laptop died, I had installed that on her laptop with her having no idea that it was really on there, and she freaked out when the hard drive went kaput.
Did you laugh and then go into the backyard and bury it and say, eat it? Suck it.
No. No, I didn't.
Suck it, wife.
Nope. Instead, I fixed it, and I was the hero. I was the hero, and I have Carbonite on my machine here at the office, on my machine at home, and on my wife's laptop. So,
And this is why Josh sleeps in the doghouse.
Right. Yeah. See, Josh, if you would install Carbonite on your wife's computer, maybe she would like you.
I just talked to her in Morgan Freeman voice.
All right, let's actually talk about some news for this week. Arduino and Intel bring you the Galileo. Jeremy, what the hell is this?
Figaro. It's essentially a nice little Arduino shield. It's the first time that Intel has sort of delved into this, and there's a reason for that. They have the Quark.
Ah, yes.
Right? So, hey, we've got somewhere else to sell it. And one of the ways that I stumbled upon it was actually a wonderful quote from MakeBlog, where they were talking with the current CEO of Intel, who was talking with one of his engineers, saying, why do you keep using those Arduino boards? We'll give you free stuff. You can just test it on Intel stuff. No, I'd rather stick with the Arduino community. It sort of set off a light in the guy's head to say, you know, maybe this is something we should get into. And so, boom, all of a sudden they've released this. It's a 400 megahertz Intel Quark SoC, 256 megs of DRAM directly on there. It's got 100 megabyte Ethernet port, micro SD, RS-232, and a USB host and client, as you'd expect. But it also has a mini PCIe slot. Now, this opens up something that the Arduino community has not really seen before, at least without not sort of customizing their own board to do it. So now you've still got compatibility for all of the various shields that are out there, but you can now also start to play with mini PCIe cards. this is going to be very interesting, I think, to the hacking community and the prototyping community in the way that they can sort of design new systems, new functionality on what is a tiny little board. I mean, that giant silver piece is the Ethernet connection.
It's kind of impressive to see that Intel's in this space, right? Because they never have. Ken, how can we improve our switching board with this?
More megahertz.
More megahertz, Ken says. All the megahertz.
You know, this is designed for people who are from a poor family. Nobody loves him. No responsibility. Galileo. 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 Figaro. Magnifico. I'm just all right. A poor boy.
Do we know when that's going to be out?
Poor family.
When do we know when that's going to be available, Jeremy?
This one they're sort of talking about before the end of the year. They haven't really put out a release date. At the same time this came out, there was another one, which was also the tray board, which is sort of two trays or two Arduinos in one. That's more 2014. From what we're hearing, this one, maybe by the end of the year.
Hey, Ken, remind me to email Intel about this, show them that project you were working on, and have them send this over. All right. I don't know if you guys heard this last week. Samsung is a big cheater. They cheated on all their benchmarks for their new Galaxy Note 3, and it turns out they're not the only ones.
Don't you mean Android is a big cheater?
No. Android operating system itself it does not cheat. It's the vendors that customize it are the cheaters.
Oh, you mean driver optimization, I think, is the politically correct term, right?
We can call whatever you want. Basemark X creator commented on it, though. They sent out an email essentially kind of right after this happened. And said, it has come to our attention that the Galaxy Note 3 may be targeting our benchmark, Basemark X, RightWare's mission is to provide trusted performance evaluation tools that you can depend on. Therefore, we have produced an updated version. So they fixed it pretty much that day. And then I asked Tero Sarkkinen, sorry if I'm mispronouncing
it. Tero, yeah.
Founder of RightWare, what could be done to prevent this type of unfair performance skewing going forward? And the bad news was, he said, every benchmark and application out there can be targeted by a new handset or tablet, and no one can really prevent it. What makes a difference is, will the benchmark vendor do something about it when it's recognized? They said they take their mission very seriously. We monitor day in and day out. What is going on? As in this case, we noticed the Note 3 is targeting Basemark X. We immediately provided the press with a version that the handset is not able to detect. Maybe they renamed it to Quark.
Quack.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they renamed it to Quack, you know?
And I really do not understand what's going on in that screenshot.
That is a... So that boat is ancient, and that's on a dried-up ocean bed. And then there's a spaceship flying over.
Oh, I thought it was like pointing a harpoon at a whale, and Kirk came and...
It's better if you see the benchmark in motion, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think BlackBerry runs that one.
So it's interesting to see this kind of cropping up. It really is the exact same thing as Quake Quack, but now everybody's doing it all of the time, apparently. So hopefully now that people are noticing it, they're recognizing it, they're writing about it, publicizing it, and publicly shaming these companies, hopefully they'll not do it anymore or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Do you remember back in the ancient days when the Pentium 3 1.114 came out?
I do.
And suddenly Kyle came out and said, well, you know, I tried this and it wouldn't compile Linux. And of course, Kyle, in his entire time, had never compiled Linux on his website.
Okay.
Where do you think that came from?
I
remember Charlie pigeonholing an Intel rep back in the Sandy Bridge days.
I don't know where any of this conversation is going all of a sudden.
I'm just saying that people don't find this stuff out without help from other people.
Oh, so you say like AMD would say, hey, make sure you compile Linux with that Intel 1.14 and all.
Yeah, tell us how that goes.
It's probably 1.333 if I know my multipliers.
Yeah, something like that.
And I got some really advanced math for you to do on this Pentium that you should try out.
Steam Machine specifications revealed, kind of. So this is this came out on October 4th. Scott posted this, that Steam announced that they were going to have 300 prototype machines. 300 is all. And they were going to distribute them unevenly throughout the Steam community. There are going to be a range of specifications. the GPUs were going to be either a Titan or a 780 or 760 or a 660. So sorry if you got the 660 and your neighbor got the Titan, because damn it.
Damn it all to hell.
CPU is either going
to
be... Because
you're, what, 1 in 35,000 to get one of these?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is better than lottery, but still.
Yeah. CPUs were all Haswell-based. RAM, 16 gigs on the CPU, 3 gigs on the GPU. That's not... I'm sure some of those are 2 gigs on the GPU. Storage was a 1 terabyte hard drive with an 8 gigabyte SSD for a hybrid SSD.
Shit.
It's a shit.
What is this shit?
It's a hybrid SSHD.
Alan, tell us about the shid.
The shid?
Yeah.
We've reviewed them. We've published on them.
And I'll tell you what, they're shid.
Don't you read the website? No.
Jeremy, what was that website again?
Penstarsis?
Josh Tech.
Josh
Tech.
Kika. Power supply 450 watts, dimensions 12 by 12 by 3, which is basically...
So it's bigger than a bedbox.
It's about the size of that, like those Digital Storm things, maybe, that we reviewed, like the mini ITX style systems. They don't talk about the motherboards and stuff. So it's interesting that they've got like a mix of hardware in there. It was interesting for a little while, at least, that they were selecting NVIDIA hardware. NVIDIA was out promoting the fact that they were using GeForce hardware in there. However, a reporter at Forbes.com, says Valve confirms official AMD-powered Steam machines for 2014. Apparently, the note from Doug Lombardi stated somewhere, if I can get through all of these...
words.
Well, these overlays links and stuff.
That's nice. Let's see. Just keep clicking.
Here we go.
X's.
Here we go. Yeah. In 2014, there will be Steam machines commercially available with graphics hardware made by AMD, NVIDIA, and Intel. Valve has worked closely together with all three companies on optimizing their hardware for SteamOS and will continue to do so in the foreseeable future. So he's saying that there will be commercial units available. The story says that Valve confirms official AMD-powered Steam machines. I don't know. Valve is obviously the prototypes are still based on GeForce cards rather than Radeon cards, rather than Intel integrated graphics. You know, that says something at least going forward.
Yeah, it's
there are NVIDIA employees at Valve?
I don't think
there
so.
There are.
Sure. It's saying that Valve has contacted AMD and Intel and said, get your stuff together in Linux because we're going to be pounding this like, well... Jeremy, is your mom still alive?
She is.
Good. So this is kind of interesting. So Doug Lombardi's email was preceded by a peculiar one from AMD's internal PR, seemingly to multiple members of the press, which stated, quote, "You've asked questions around Valve's recent announcement of SteamOS and Steam Machines, and we're wondering if AMD was, quote, left out from their prototype program. This couldn't be further from the truth. AMD is very actively engaged with Valve on these products and campaigns, but since we'd like you to hear of this from Valve directly, please email Doug Lombardi, who is the Vice President of Marketing at Valve, for their official statement on AMD's involvement in the Steam Machine prototype program." Doug Lombardi's statement said nothing about the Steam Machine prototype program, I should note.
Did they send you that email?
You know what? No. And I even emailed Doug specifically, and I didn't get that reply email. Whether or not it was a... like a form thing, obviously, for to each person or not. So, you know, it's extremely odd that AMD effectively asked members of the press to chase this story on their own.
The details of my Linux life are quite inconsequential.
Right. You know, obviously, AMD doesn't want to have any indication that their graphics architecture has a shortcoming in any facet of computing ever, world, forever. So that includes, you know, they're in the consoles, they're releasing very good parts in the PC, maybe new parts soon as well. And the Steam announcement kind of came out right before the Hawaii product, and so it kind of put a little kink in the armor, I guess. But it's an odd story. It's an odd the way it came down, where you got an email from AMD saying, hey, why don't you contact Doug Lombardi at Valve about that? Why not just get a statement from Doug and send it out to all the press and be done. It was very weird. I don't know. Internal politics are stupid. Hey, Jeremy.
Yes.
Do you think technically inclined customers will catch on to things?
Well, you know, there's been a pair of companies that have kind of annoyed me this week.
There's not very many companies left that don't.
This is also true. But there were two stories that I ended up putting out, which came back to back, and were a little bit ridiculous. First off, yesterday it was revealed that NVIDIA limits the number of monitors you're allowed to use on Linux to provide parity in experience between Windows and Linux users. So the Linux users who were used to being able to just spew out to however many monitors they could actually manage to do have just found out that NVIDIA is now limiting you to 3 monitors on current hardware and current drivers. Perfect, on purpose. And somehow they didn't think that the Linux community would figure this out. You know, the guys that provide updates to kernels that bug track the U.S. government, which was hilarious today, but do bug trackers that reverse engineer drivers. And, you know, we'll just put this artificial limit in here and no one's going to get annoyed. And so this, you know, it's not been a good week, but this sort of did not cheer me up. And then I find out that AMD is actually putting a specific chip, as I refer to it, an Apple-like hardware check on the IIC bus of their adapters, so that if you are using a DVI to HDMI adapter that did not come with one of your Radeon cards, the audio signal's blocked.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes no sense to me either.
The adapters that come with your AMD Radeon cards are as generic as they could possibly be.
Apparently not. There is a special feature on them.
I'm gonna
Well, they're transparent, and they say ATI on them.
Do they really?
Yes. They're branded.
From retail cards?
I have one. It's friggin' branded. Now, this is not 100%. But it is a good chunk of them. And I don't understand it. But then again,
why would NVIDIA
limiting monitors. NVIDIA doesn't sell monitors and adapters.
Can anybody think of a reason why AMD would not want you to use a different DVI to HDMI adapter?
Well, there's only one thing I can think of, and it's the generic Apple excuse. We don't want to support other people's hardware. If you are going to use an adapter, we want to be able to guarantee that this adapter has passed our quality checks.
That's very unlike AMD.
On the other hand, it is very like AMD, and it is just dumb.
Any idea,
it's
Josh?
Not even an HDCP thing. Like, it's not content protection. It's just, oh, your adapter broke? Well, you should buy a new Radeon card. No, I don't think that's what they're going for. I don't think they're in a secret partnership with Monster Cable, because I don't think Monster Cable does that EEPROM either.
Maybe it's Beats. I mean, they lost HTC.
Dr. Dre. Blame it on him.
Alan, you're going to say
these adapters
something?
Aren't doing anything like unique or special, right? There's a standard, and it either follows the standard or it doesn't, right?
It's just a friggin' pass-through with a couple of crossovers. There's nothing special in it.
Right, but so it adheres to the specs for both sides, and it makes the connection, right? It's just an electrical connection thing, right? Or is there a chip in there doing something?
Well, you know, upon boot, it's a little, it could send a code sitting on one of the IIC connectors. Chip that then cuts it out.
Yeah, okay. And that IIC connector cuts out the audio. Boom, yeah. Gone. And they even do a little software check to a query to see, is this there? Is it present? Then, okay, you get audio. If it's not, you don't. I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. And as much as I don't understand putting it there, I'm baffled at the fact that they think people wouldn't notice. We're techies. We tear apart your stuff. We will destructively scan your chips just to be able to find out what the circuit tracings are like. You throw something like that in there and figure we're not going to notice it?
I buy a lot of adapters, but I guess I never use the audio from DVI to HDMI.
No. Nobody ever uses audio from DVI to HDMI.
Because it's an HDMI plug.
Weird.
But on the other hand, why would you do that in the first place?
So maybe you have heard about this Radeon R9 290X. AMD announced this super awesome new graphics card that I haven't tested yet at the GPU 14 event in Hawaii on a live stream that was a
little...
Just book them, Dano.
Jack.
And so they announced it, and they said, you'll be able to pre-order it, and it'll come with Battlefield 4. Well, that never happened in the U.S. for some reason, but one way to do a pre-order with a 290X and Battlefield 4 is to buy a whole new system. And Main Gear...
Because I need a whole new system.
Main Gear, Cyber Power, and iBuy Power have now partnered with AMD.
But not Origin.
Yeah, weird. Not Origin. It's so weird.
It's been conspiracy theory week.
It really has. Actually, we'll talk about that after this. Main Gear prepares for Battlefield 4 with exclusive PCs featuring the new Radeon R9290X. So we don't know anything about its specs publicly. We don't know anything about its performance publicly. We don't know how much it's going to cost publicly, but you can buy it in this system, and it'll come with Battlefield 4. It just seems weird to me.
Did we link to that leak?
Which one? I guess not.
That it'll ship on 1018?
No, the R90 leak.
Oh,
I don't know. That there was a 290 as well as a 290X?
Well, yeah, and the specs on the side of the box.
Oh, nice.
That wasn't us, but...
Yeah, weird. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. You can buy the Shift, starts at $3,789 with two AMD Radeon R9 290X in Crossfire, while the F131 starts at $2,199 with one R9 290X.
And you don't need an over-the-top connector.
You do not. No. We talked about that already.
We're OTT free.
Yep.
You know what I mean.
Go over the down low.
What? So let me just mention real quickly before we head over to our picks, the Origin PC theme, because I guess we never really published a news story on it. I meant to. Origin PC announced, rather publicly, in a press release, that they were dropping AMD Radeon graphics cards from their systems. Origin PC, for people who don't know, is a boutique system builder, kind of like Main Gear, Cyber Power, iBuy Power, those guys. And that they were dropping AMD Radeon cards because of issues with support and customer complaints about quality. I remember getting that, I believe, that email and going, huh, oh well, who cares? And then I moved on, right? It was kind of like, that's a stupid reason, right before they were getting ready to launch a new graphics card, that you may sell several systems with those graphics cards in it. And your reasoning seems kind of weird. Now, a friend of mine, I'll call him a friend, he's a good guy. He writes some odd things sometimes. Charlie, over at Simi Accurate, did some digging, and he did some good journalism up to a certain point on this, where he basically claimed that due to... he had conversations with people at NVIDIA and other system builders who said that NVIDIA had basically paid Origin PC to drop... AMD from their system. They probably didn't pay him cash. They probably paid them, hey, we will match what you would have made in AMD sales with advertising money or something like that. And the claim was that NVIDIA had made this offer to other system builders, but nobody else really took them up on it, at least not publicly at this point. All this is...
Because you know, it wouldn't be immediately obvious
brand new
if
AMD
someone
cards.
Dropped hey, hey. All of their AMD graphics cards.
Josh Sagan.
I said it wouldn't be immediately obvious that a boutique system builder dropped all of their AMD graphics cards.
Well, so, you know, there's a whole lot of conspiracy going on here. Did NVIDIA do it? NVIDIA's marketing has always been known to be very aggressive. Do I think that they would have said, hey, if you go NVIDIA exclusive, we'll get you this side bonus? I see that being a possibility for sure. And I think one of the big tip-offs is the fact that they published that Origin published a press release about it. Usually, if you have customer complaints and issues with a company, you just if you want to stop carrying them, you just stop carrying them. Like I agree completely with Charlie's statement that you know if you drop a certain motherboard manufacturer, you don't release a press release going out about hey, we decided to go with to drop Gigabyte motherboards from our options here because of that reason, or MSI motherboards for this reason, or whatever it is. It just doesn't happen. And it's
well, and as you mentioned, that, if I can interrupt you, Ryan.
Yeah.
I quote, Primarily, the overall issues have been stability of the cards, overheating, performance, scaling, and the amount of time to receive new drivers on both desktop and mobile GPUs. That is the official stance of Origin as to why they dropped it.
Not all of that could be... Not all of that is wrong, I guess, right?
So there were scaling stability?
Issues. There were scaling overheating? Issues. There were overheating issues with the 7990.
Overheating if you use 7990s side by side.
With yes. one slot between them.
Yes.
I mean, you could find specific instances, maybe specific instances of each of those things happening in its own. And maybe the company decided that they didn't want to deal with it anymore. And maybe it was convenient timing that somebody came and knocked on the door and said, hey, if you maybe do this thing, it'll be cool. And they're like, hey, you know what? We were kind of thinking about that anyway. It simplifies our product line. It makes our support easier. Whatever.
Yeah, but how does Apple handle this when they go from one to another?
They just say... announce the new product line and say, this is what we're using.
Yeah.
They don't bash the company that they left, which is what happened here, and which is what makes it more aggravating than it should be. Right. If somebody came to me and said, hey, Origin PC doesn't offer any AMD cards anymore, and I went to their site and I looked through the builder and you couldn't configure an AMD card anymore, I'd be like, okay, that was their decision that they made. Fine. But to issue a press release and to be very public about it seems I don't want to say it seems fishy, like I believe in some kind of grand conspiracy. It just seems out of place. It seems like it's not necessary. It shouldn't have happened. And if that's a decision
like
you made,
me saying,
just go for it.
No matter what you hear, I do not have chlamydia.
It's not exactly like that because you do.
maybe they just did it to preempt.
Makes it even more valid. So
maybe they just did it to preempt people asking. I don't know.
Maybe. No, because what should have happened is if I noticed it and then I sent an email to them say, hey, how come you guys aren't carrying the new R9 290X? They should have said, then they should have offered that statement. Right? And then they could have gone to AMD and said, look, we didn't try to make a big deal out of it. People started asking us questions, so we did this. But to go out of their way to send out a press release about it seems stupid.
Yeah, especially when Main Gear, iBuyPower, and CyberPower are all offering brand new AMD cards.
Sure, and they sell NVIDIA cards too. Go ahead, Alan.
Something else that seemed odd was on that day that everybody was talking about it, I went to the press area of their site, and I didn't see that press release.
It was out there.
It's not like it's plastered right on there, you know.
Well, yeah, but it's like ASUS launching brand new cards. They don't put it on their news site until about 3 or 4 days after the news blast.
Oh.
I would also point out that Ken wanted me to point out, especially in Charlie's story, he talks about that they still are selling AMD CPUs. And Charlie kind of goes into this rant about that there's more driver support required for a processor than for a graphics card, and I disagree with that.
Yeah, AMD's HCI drivers, everything else
works fine.
They're really solid.
Yeah, and they're not comparable. And he says CPUs, and I'm assuming that we can group in like whole platforms, right? The platform driver and the graphics driver are completely separate. They're very different. They have very different stability and performance concerns. And nobody that I know of has ever complained about AMD platforms. So there's the argument that it's obviously an NVIDIA thing because they still sell AMD CPUs and they drop only GPUs is kind of a bad argument to take. But, you know, Charlie has a lot of sources. He has a lot of good information. I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. I don't know, you know, maybe a lot of it is true. And he also kind of exaggerates things and makes things a bigger deal than they should. But it's an interesting story that I think matters very little to the reader and to the gamer as a whole. You know, it's if we get to the point where Main Gear only sells AMD and Falcon Northwest only sells NVIDIA and like this kind of separation, it doesn't matter, but that's not going to happen. Like, I know the guys at Main Gear, they have really good relationships with NVIDIA. They have really good relationships with AMD. Obviously, they were the only partner at that live event. But anyway, let's move on. I don't want to spend too much time on that. if you want to follow the, if you want to follow that drama, just be on Twitter, I guess, and do that. So, yeah. Hardware software picks of the week. Let's run through these pretty quick so I can play some Battlefield 4. Question mark. My pick is we're getting a dual socket 2011 motherboard in very soon with a pair.
K7M, right?
Yeah. No. 2011. Socket LGA 2011.
K7M Plus?
12-core Xeon processors. And I needed some coolers for it. Now, I was looking at these Noctua coolers that were freaking enormous and also expensive, like $90. And I finally asked Asus, hey, which ones do you recommend for this board? I don't know if these Noctuas are even going to fit on there in a pair. And they recommended the Dynatron R17, which is a really catchy name, as most heat sinks and stuff tend to be. And this, don't break it. Don't break it. This is the unit here. And what's interesting is that, so it comes with a, what is this, a 120? No.
It's called a fan.
It's an 80 millimeter fan.
80.
Here's a good heatsink, but you notice it has rubber clips on it. They're not really clips, but it's, you know, to try to help keep the fan quiet when you install it.
Rubber penetrators.
I was trying not to use that term. But you just pull that through, so there's no screws you have to use, nothing like that, and then it should keep vibrations to a minimum in terms of sound levels when you use that. And it's apparently it's rated up to, how many watts are we looking at? 160 watts of cooling capability.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to use a pair of these on a platform that's going to power our streaming configuration here. So this is the Dynatron, what is it, R17? And the best part, if I can get these penetrators in... All four of them.
You know, somewhere behind me, I do have one of the first Dynatron copper
for an AMD
heat sinks.
FX? Or for AMD, for an Athlon part?
No. I mean, it was well before that.
Oh, A6. And the best part about this is if you look at this page, while the Noctuas were like $90, these are $29.99.
That's inexpensive.
That's a little bit less. That's a little bit less. All right, who's up next? Jeremy, what do you got?
All right, well, this may not be completely adhering to Colleen rules, but who has not spent a lot of time reading this particular publisher? This is just a random assortment of the books that I just had handy, but come on, if you've never heard of O'Reilly Publishing, you really need to go over there. I don't think they've have any specials right now, but seriously, this is some of the best written tech books that you can find. They're constantly updated, and hey, if you know who he is, then good on you. If you don't, and you're an up-and-coming techie, give the site a shot.
All right. And Joshy Josh.
So much better than Jeremy's if you want to read about Windows 2000.
Hey Josh, before you get into your actual pick, what's our phrase for this week? Hurry.
Flotsam.
And jetsam.
Exactly.
Flotsam and jetsam. You want to spell that for our viewers?
I'm the only person.
If you don't know what it is, you're qualified to finish that statement.
I know you're a submariner, right? You're very familiar with flotsam and jetsam.
Flotsam and jetsam.
F-L-O-T-S-O-M.
The Jetsons were in the future, and the Flintstones were in the
flotsam.
Past.
Not the Jetsons.
The Flintstones and the Jetsons. Flintstones and the Jetsons. Bedrock and whatever. All right. Anyway, go ahead. With your
okay.
Pick. Let's go.
What am I talking about? Oh, the price isn't terrible. Funny we saw these things. Couple of months ago, these were like $700 to $900 in price without cooling.
Yeah.
And now,
how about that?
You can get an FX9370 with liquid cooling, self-contained, for $289. Most people would pay $290 because
what
a penny.
Hold on. What do you tell somebody that bought this processor 2 months ago? I mean,
you really should have waited.
That's not even really funny. How'd you pay $850 for that 9590? Oof.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you bought a system around it, too.
Well, you didn't have to, but...
Sort of.
Yeah. All right. And so this one is $289, and then the 9590, which is the, what, 300 megahertz faster?
Yeah, it's model, 4.7 to 5 gig.
Is $389.
Yeah.
$100 more. Also comes with a self-contained cooler.
And they're not bad prices, considering the speed of the processor and the cooling.
I think at $389 with an included water cooler, which is, let's say that's worth, what, $60? $70 maybe?
80 to 100, depending.
I'm going
to
go $60. So you're talking about a $300 to $320 processor?
65, 65. Do I hear 65? 70, 70, 70?
Because you don't get those with Intel processors. So I think that's interesting. Maybe maybe now they'll finally send us one.
You think?
No.
No.
No, I don't. No. All right, last but not least, Alan, what do you got?
So it's something that Ryan already ordered, actually.
Head of you.
That sneaky guy. it's too rich for my blood at the moment, but I'm strongly looking at it. There's a new thing from Nest called the Nest Protect, which is basically just a fire alarm from Nest, but it's like a Wi-Fi connected fire alarm that has like all sorts of really cool.
It's a smoke stuff. Detector.
Like it, yeah, does it play detector. Angry Birds?
But it tells you when it's about to go off, and you can just wave at it instead of trying to, you know, shake a towel at it or whatever you do to you know, turn your fire alarm off. And, you know, it tells you when there's smoke, and it tells you what room, and it, you know, pings your phone, and all those are kind of crap. Pretty cool.
It's $129, and it's a smoke detector and carbon monoxide detector. Now, a carbon monoxide detector is going to cost you probably $60 on its own, and then a smoke detector is like $30, maybe $20. Or something like that if you buy the cheap one. And so what it does is it says, warning, smoke detected in the kitchen. And it uses a voice, as a woman's voice. Because you can have multiple things in your house.
Could you have a kitchen? Be like,
oh, my God, there's a fire in the kitchen!
Eat it.
Eat it. There's a fire!
That would be pretty awesome, actually, if you had.
We need to hack that thing.
Modded voices.
Archie!
So if it's like you're cooking and it starts to detect smoke, it'll warn you, and you give it a, and you can just wave at it, and it kind of ignores it, which is pretty cool. And then it has a nightlight feature on it as well. It has motion detectors and stuff like that. So if it's dark and you walk down the hallway, it will illuminate when it detects motion as like a little temporary nightlight type thing too. It's expensive. It's not as expensive as you might think it is because, again, it includes carbon monoxide. And isn't your family worth it?
Nope.
Ken says no.
Have you met my family?
No, I haven't. So I ordered one for the office here because we don't have a smoke detector at all, actually. And I was fearful for Ken's life. And then I ordered some for the house to see how that all works. And it does cool stuff like if you have a Nest thermostat, they know they're on the same network. And if it detects carbon monoxide leak, it will turn off the furnace because that is the most common culprit of CO emission, right? So other than Josh.
No, that's nocturnal emission.
Matt. God. No, that's me. I'm the smoker.
God, I should have ended this show just right before that. Just a little. It's a neat little device. And also, because it has other sensors, it has motion sensors in it, it will also help the thermostat tell you, you know how it goes into like an auto-away state? The Nest thermostat would go into auto-away if it doesn't detect motion for a while. But your thermostat's usually in one spot, whereas if you have multiple of these, it'll be able to tell if there's motion in the house from multiple areas as well. So. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's a neat little device. And I think I heard – who was it said? I think it was somebody on TNT this morning from yesterday's episode said that Nest is actually building the Internet of Things while everybody else talks about it.
What are they going to do next?
Oh, what's the next things? They did thermostats and they did smoke detectors. What will Nest make next?
Toilet sensors.
I still turn off UPnP.
Is that a number one or number two? How much should I flush? Should I warn them if it's going to clog?
I'm going to go with security system.
Oh.
I'm going to go with camera, motion detector, security system. Don't do it with Raspberry Pi.
I think there's too much infrastructure to that.
And maybe make it outsource the monitoring.
Yeah, no, there. Yeah. I mean, there's 5 or 6 home automation companies right now that you could totally hook up with, which would
okay.
Just,
how about a home locking
already give
system.
Them an infrastructure.
You know, yeah. It listens, and if it doesn't hear any noises from TVs, people talking, whatever, locks the house down.
I'd be okay with any of that.
Because everybody goes to bed.
Locks, door locks. Yeah.
Locks the house down.
Yep. I like that. I'm in. It'll be $800.
Yep.
Yep. All right, everybody. That's going to be our episode. Thank you to Carbonite for sponsoring our 272nd episode.
Do you know in like 700 episodes, I'm going to be in my 50s?
Maybe your 30s.
You won't be the only one.
PCPer.com/podcast is the URL to share so people can have all the fun with this podcast that we do every week. PCPer.com/live is where you can come see us live Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And if you go to the website, go to this website right here. On this side, there's a little here. It says upcoming events, and it has a schedule of upcoming events. And you can click get notified when we go live. It takes you to the subscribe page. You can subscribe. It's totally awesome. Everybody should sign up. And don't forget the code word, secret phrase for our giveaway of Batman Arkham Origins, courtesy of NVIDIA and GeForce, is Flotsam Jetsam.
Flotsam and Jetsam.
Yeah. No, I got it, guys.
You know what? Read up on maritime law.
I'm not going to.
For bonus points, Legan and Derelict.
Ooh.
But you get no bonus for anything, so you don't really have to put that in there. No. All right, everybody. That's going to do it. We'll see you next week, maybe, or the week after. We'll see you soon. I'm Ryan Schraub.
Jeremy Hellstrom.
I'm Josh Walrath.
I'm Alan Mabutano.
Bye.